Good morning, everyone. It's a real joy to be here on this very wonderful Sunday when we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit in power upon God's people. And also we are celebrating the platinum anniversary of our Queen's reign in this land. Conjoined joys, but all overarched by the love of God. Before we commence worship together, we have to say our usual instructions. Please do feel free to wear a mask if you wish. And I would ask those of us who do not to respect that and to keep just that little extra distance, because there's a reason why those masks are being worn. And if we respect each other, we will all stay safe together, which is the main thing. I want to thank very much Chris and Sue for being our stewards this morning. And if there's anything you need at all, please just go to the back of the church and they will direct you and they will help you if you need help. We have come to worship God. And I like, at the beginning of worship, always to have that moment of stillness where we recognize His presence here amongst us, not only in our individual lives, but in the church, the body of Christ together, the Holy Spirit reigns. So let us be silent for just one moment, and then when our group decides, we will sing that lovely song, "Be Still, for the Presence of the Lord, the Holy One, is here." Amen.
Thank you.
Let us come together in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come into your presence through the permission and presence of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that through him we have received our salvation. Through his death on the cross and his glorious resurrection, Lord, we have life eternal. And we ask, Lord, that you will give us confidence in you and in our faith in you. And we thank you that by the presence of the Holy Spirit in each of our lives and in this place, we can have that confidence built up anew. So, Lord, we welcome you amongst us this morning. We are so glad to be here. And we ask, Lord, that you will bless each one as they have need. If there is a heart that is sad and burdened, lift it, Lord. If there is a need for healing, we have already sung that you come to help and to heal. And with the power of your Spirit, healing does take place. And Lord, we pray for those of us with happy, joyful hearts. May we be sensitive to the need of others because of our personhood in Jesus himself. Lord, for all your love to us in Christ, we thank you. Amen. There's a picture of our dear Queen. I love that picture in her pink. I love pink. I asked for a picture of our Queen in pink simply because I want us this morning to see her as a woman, as a human being who knows what it is to go through the stresses of life, as all of us do. And yet she has had to go through disappointments, illness, tragedy. She's also gone through the loss of her husband. She knows what it is to be bereaved. And yet, with dignity, with strength, she has remained queenly in her actions and in her love for her country and for her people. I think I am a royalist at heart. I thank God for our royalty. I thank God for our history that brought royalty into being over a long period of time. And I do hope that we continue to have the head of state who is one to be respected, to be honoured under God. I will always remember her face when she came off that aeroplane, when she came home from Africa to be acknowledged as Queen at the loss of George VI. And I remember him. There are some of us here that do too. And for 70 years, she took on that great responsibility and has borne it really, really well. I'm sinking here. Don't lean on it, folks. It goes down. Oh, dear. But also her faith. Every time she has spoken in public, and she has always mentioned her faith in God and her love in Christ. Not to make a big to-do of it, but it's always there. And I do believe with all my heart that when she made that promise at her coronation that she would serve her country and her people for as long as she lived, and she has continued to carry that promise through. A woman to be greatly admired, and we do thank God for her. If any of you have grandchildren at home, I've made a few crowns for them. And I want to read something to you from Scripture that applies to us all and also to our Queen. And it's from Philippians chapter 2, verses 8 to 11. Actually from 5, typing error. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. If we are Christ's people, we must act as Christ would act. And we can only do that by the indwelling of his Spirit, who being the very nature God, did nothing to consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God his Father. And I believe that our Queen, she has been sustained by her faith through difficult days, and I honour her because I believe that she too, even though she wears the crown of authority, has to bow before Jesus, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we, each one of his subjects, bow before him in prayer, in our living, and in respect of others. So I want to encourage you this morning that as the Queen has followed her Saviour through her reign, that we too are faithful to him. By being faithful to him, we are faithful to people, to whosoever that God has called us to serve and to help. So we're going to now come together again in prayer. And it's a prayer that I found in our weekly letter this week. Thank you very much. And there were two prayers there, one for the Queen and one for ourselves. And the Queen's Platinum Jubilee one, we praise God for our Queen. And when I say for her courage, her dignity and sincerity, whenever I'm for, would you be kind enough at the end of the sentence that follows to say, we praise you. So for her courage, her dignity and sincerity, we praise you. That will occur three times, folks. All right. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for the opportunity to come together to celebrate the life of our Queen, for her courage, her dignity and sincerity. We praise you. For her dedication, her resilience, her faith. We praise you. For the way she has put service before self. We praise you. And we ask your blessing on her and all those she loves at this special time and always. Amen. And then she is the God of nations, the UK in all its limitations, plus the Commonwealth. And wherever the Queen goes, she is welcomed and respected. God of nations, on this day of Pentecost, we praise you for the power of your Holy Spirit, equipping each of us for our life's work. We celebrate especially the wonderful work of our Queen, who has put loyalty before her royalty through all the ages of her reign, and who, day by day, has served you, her God, and Christ, her King, with humility, resilience, and grace. Thank you for all she is and all she has done to your glory. Amen. Amen. Lovely. We're now going to enjoy singing two lovely songs. All over the world, God's Spirit is moving.
Right here in this place, as a focus and a
A bit of uplift. Wonderful. Thank you so
either
much.
That
That's
marry.
More better. I'll tell you my answer later. Oh dear. Bless you. Time is precious when we gather, and I do believe the Word of God is by far the most essential of every part of our service. So I'm going to cut down very much what I was going to share with you. But how are we aware of the Holy Spirit in the 21st century? How many of you, if I came to you privately and said, do you know you are filled with the Holy Spirit, could with all honesty say, yes, I am? And it is a progression of our faith and an understanding of our God that helps us to receive that blessing of the Holy Spirit. I love symbolism, and I'm just going to nip through this symbol, which is reflected every Sunday I come here, straight behind me on the wall. Do you see the gym things, where you climb up the wall? I know the feeling, when you climb up the wall. Here we see a wonderful picture of the cross, and that's where our faith begins. When we come to Christ at the foot of the cross, we kneel and our sin is forgiven. Christian friends, you are a forgiven people. What has happened in the past is gone. Leave it there. Please leave it there. And walk on in the present, in the presence of Christ, to your future. And the wonderful thing about that, when you know that your sin is forgiven, often at that moment the Holy Spirit fills you, often. But sometimes a little later. And you have this experience of cleansing right through, a new understanding of people, a new vision of life, and that sense of joy and freedom enters you. And that is how God renews us, by his Spirit. And then we have the symbol of the flames, the fire of the Holy Spirit. Oh, by George, I'll never forget the day I came to Christ. Everybody I met was sick to death of me talking about Jesus. I couldn't say enough about him. The wonder of having my sin, for being made new, of being made new and being filled with that light of love for him first, for what he had done, for who he was, and for others. And that was an amazing day. And the fire of the Holy Spirit is the one who keeps our hearts pumping with that warmth of faith. And the part that warns us if we're going to go wrong. He is our second conscience, if you like. And so I love that picture of Pentecost. We're going to hear from Alistair the wonderful truth of the Holy Spirit. The outpouring is one who releases us, who fills us, who uses us to God's glory, to God's glory. Climbing frame, right? Red for the blood of Christ, yellow for the fire of the Holy Spirit, and blue for holiness. We are made holy by the blood of Christ, the fire of the God's Spirit, and his indwelling presence makes us a holy people. So that is just a little very rough outline of some aspects of how we can understand the indwelling and power of the Holy Spirit today in the 21st century. Now we're going to have intercessions, but I would like to invite first of all Chris to pop up, and she's going to share with us just a moment about the children we sponsor. We somebody don't hear enough about them. Bless you, dear.
So I just want to take a moment or two to pray for the children. I know a lot of you do have the little prayer sheets for our sponsored children, but I think it's when we usually bring the offering up, we pray for them very often, and we haven't really been praying for them much, so I'd just like to do that now. So pray for them by name, if we could just bow our heads. We thank you, Lord, for each of these children that we are able to sponsor because of the generosity of the people of this fellowship. We pray for Sidoine in Burkina Faso, where we know there have been troubles recently. We pray for our secret child through Open Doors. We pray for Rahima and Akan from Ethiopia. We pray for William in Peru. And we pray for Ki in Indonesia. And we ask your blessing on each of these children, that they might each come to know you as their Lord and Saviour and friend. And bless their families. And what we are able to give, we pray that it will make a difference in their lives. In his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jenny.
And now Lynn, who's going to share something of the BMS reps who are coming to visit us. Thank you, Lynn.
Morning, Church Fellowship. Lovely to see you. Yes, just a reminder, not next Saturday, but the one after that, the 18th, Brian and Jackie Chilvers are coming to us. They come from the Guinea Boer Hospital 2 in Chad. And so they are coming to that Saturday evening from 6 o'clock at Oasis. And out in the foyer there, on the long table, not the short table, there is a list of where you could put your name if you're coming and what you would like to bring, a savoury dish and a dessert of some sort. And that would be wonderful. So let's just bow our head and pray for Brian and Jackie. As they're doing a whistle stop tour, I believe we are the last on a long list. So we need to make sure that we come to give them our diligent attention so that we may pray more effectively for them. Lord God, I pray that you will send your Holy Spirit in power to rest upon Brian and Jackie as they come and tell various fellowships all about their work in Chad. Lord, we lift them to you. We pray your protection and your grace and your love to just dwell upon them, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you. The agricultural chaplaincy, which I have a great heart for, they go to farmers who live very lonely lives sometimes, and suicide is quite high in the farming community. They do a tremendous work of uplift, encouragement, introduction to different areas of help, and their summer newsletter is on the notice board if you'd like to stop and just have a quick read as you leave the church. Thank you so much.
Or you can read it online if you want.
Oh, online if you want to. Oh, my goodness. Thank you very much for that. And so now I would like to pray for the church. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you with our many needs this morning. Some amongst us are sad at heart, for we have lost loved ones. We think too, Lord, of those who are awaiting medical care. Some have waited so long and have been in great pain. We just ask, Lord, that you will help us to draw close one to the other. And if, Lord, we can be of help to any of our brothers or sisters, please make that plain to us, we pray. We bring particularly Mike and Mary to you, Ninette, Jill Bell, and we give you thanks that little Ella, who was so very poorly in hospital, is now much recovered and really beginning to bounce with health. We ask, Lord, that you will indeed lay your healing hand on those who need relief from illness, etc. And, Lord, bring joy to those whose hearts are heavy. But, Lord, above all, we thank you for our fellowship. We thank you that we worship here in this school building, in the community. And we ask that you will make each one of us a useful ambassador of Christ in the communities in which we live. For Jesus' sake, amen. Now we're going to have that lovely song, Shine, Jesus, Shine. I want you to sing it with your faces shining this morning and enjoy the words of this lovely song. Thank you.
Thank you.
Now I will bring to you the chosen text for this morning, and how wonderful it is to know that our God is the God of the whole world, of every individual that draws breath, he has a loving heart for, and we have the task of making him known. Acts chapter 1, verses 1 to 8. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach, until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instruction to the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered round him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Amen." Alistair, would you kindly come? Let us commend Alistair before he brings us the word. Our loving Lord, we want to thank you for our minister, Alistair. We thank you for his faithfulness, for his knowledge, and for his pastoral care. We ask that you will bless him as he brings your word to us this morning. May we be encouraged and inspired by what he has to say through the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Alistair.
Thanks, Jenny, very much indeed. On the 21st of October, 1833, Emmanuel and Andriette Nobel were blessed with a bouncing baby boy, Alfred. And Alfred went on to become a famous scientist and inventor, and of course, founder of the Nobel Prizes. And in 1866, Alfred discovered that by mixing nitroglycerin with a fine sand, turn the liquid into paste. The paste could then be shaped into rods, and the rods could then be inserted into drilling holes. And then, bang! And Alfred made a fortune from his explosive power. Now, Alfred had a friend who was a Greek scholar, so he asked his friend what the Greek word for power was. So his friend told him, it was dynamis. And so Alfred said, well, that's what I'm going to call my brand new explosive. I'm going to use this word to describe my brand new explosive. And he called it dynamite. Dynamite. Well, this morning we are in the book of Acts. It's Pentecost Sunday. And my text for this morning is Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive power. Dynamis, dynamite, when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now, a couple of things strike us straight away from that verse, don't they? I mean, first of all, the power is from above. The power is from above. The gift comes from the Father. Now, where do people look for power today? I want to suggest to you that so many people today don't look for power from above, they look for power inside themselves. Power comes from within. Let me try and show you what I mean. I mean, we see it in literature, don't we? It's a well-known book, an international bestseller by Jerry Hussey. Awaken your power within. Let go of fear. Discover your infinite potential. Become your true self. Where does the power come from? By awakening what is within. We see it in music as well. I could have suggested any one of a number of songs, but just one from the 1990s, from Mariah Carey. Hero. There's a hero. Where's the hero? If you look inside your heart. You don't have to be afraid of what you are. There's an answer. Where's the answer? If you reach into your soul, and the sorrow that you know will melt away. We see it in music. Not only that, we see it in films. In just about every Disney film, we can think of Beauty and the Beast, Frozen, Mulan, and all the others. How does the story go? Well, it goes something like this. Happiness will be yours if you look deep inside yourself, follow your heart, chase your dreams, and oppose anyone who would stifle your true self. Power comes from within. But the power of the Holy Spirit is a gift from the Father. He comes from above. And I think that should give us such encouragement, because it means that the power of the Holy Spirit is independent of my emotional state. You don't have to be in a certain frame of mind or a certain mood or all fizzy and bubbly inside to experience the power of the Holy Spirit, because the power of the Holy Spirit comes from above. It also means the power of the Holy Spirit is independent of my spiritual attainment. You know, sometimes we think, don't we, that you've got to be up to a certain level before the Holy Spirit will use you. And maybe you look back on your life over this last week, maybe over a few weeks, and you sort of try and grade yourself, don't you? And maybe you think, well, this last week or two hasn't been great. I think I'm qualifying around about a C minus. But the good news is that the gift of the Holy Spirit has nothing to do with spiritual attainment. He comes from above, upon us. He comes from outside, within us. So the power is from above. The power is a gift from the Father. Notice also that the power is for witnessing. So the power of the Holy Spirit is not given primarily to give us a spiritual buzz, or a spiritual experience, or a spiritual high. The power of the Holy Spirit is given primarily as a power for witnessing. Now, so often I think it's been said, isn't it, that what's people's favourite subject? Themselves. Is that right? That's what people say. People's favourite subject is themselves. That's why blogs are so popular. Fashion, music, lifestyle, food, travel. This is what I think. This is my experience. This is what I want to say. That's why social media is so popular. People will broadcast the most intimate details of their personal lives for the whole world to see. This is me. That's why reality TV stars invite the cameras into their homes to broadcast their lives to the entire world. But notice that the apostles were not given the power of the Holy Spirit to talk about themselves. The apostles were given the power of the Holy Spirit to be witnesses to Jesus. His life, his death, his resurrection. His mission and his ministry. His work and his person. And I think the Holy Spirit's agenda is not that we tell people first and foremost about our experience, our life, our testimony. The Holy Spirit's agenda is that we tell people first and foremost about Jesus. About Jesus. And I think a number of things follow from this. First of all, our heart must be for the lost. It's a really challenging thought. You know that little phrase, I think Jenny's already referred to it, be filled with the Holy Spirit. You know that phrase. It appears around 14 times in the book of Acts. And on almost every occasion, the people who are filled with the Holy Spirit are then described as bearing witness powerfully to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not a challenge. So one sure sign, surely, that we are filled with the Holy Spirit is we have a heart for the lost. And we witness powerfully to Jesus. And that raises a lot of challenging questions, doesn't it? If we have a heart for the lost, what should our church life look like? I think of a church that arranges its services and its mission around a hypothetical single mum called Becky. So they constantly ask themselves the questions. What should our church services look like? What should our midweek work look like? What should our mission look like to attract single mums like Becky? Think of another church that uses the gathering and scattering principle. So they gather on Sundays for their services, usually followed by a meal together, and then they scatter during the rest of the week. They don't have any church groups. So their church goes out to local activities, to evening classes, to social groups, to bear witness to Jesus. If we have a heart for the lost, what would have to change about our church services, do you think, so that we all feel comfortable about inviting family, friends and neighbours along on a Sunday morning? If we have a heart for the lost, and bear in mind, most people don't get up on a Sunday morning and think to themselves, I think I will go to church today. What do we need to do during the week to reach people who really have no interest in church or Christ? If we have a heart for the lost, what should our prayer meetings look like? And I say this slightly tongue-in-cheek, but do we want to spend all of our time praying about Mrs. Smith's ingrowing toenail? Or about the 100 children at this school and their families and the people of Sandbach and beyond who don't yet have the joy of knowing Christ? If we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we will have a heart for the lost and we'll begin to witness powerfully for the Lord Jesus Christ. Our heart must be for the lost. Not only that, our lives must be consistent. Think again, one of the things you notice about the disciples is that when the Holy Spirit came on them, their lives matched their words. Their lives matched their words. So yes, in the power of the Spirit, they preached about Christ, and they spoke about Christ, and they taught about Christ. In the power of the Holy Spirit, they also lived for Christ, and they served Christ, and they suffered and sacrificed for Christ. Again, Jenny made reference to one of my favourite verses, one I often come back to, 2 Corinthians 5:20. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. I always find that an enormously helpful picture as we think about our own witness. We are Christ's ambassador. So, we are ambassadors for Christ. Just think about an ambassador for a moment. Just to help you, there's one for you. That's Dame Karen Pierce. She's our ambassador to the United States. What does she do? She represents our country to the United States. She, like any ambassador, wants to be a worthy representative of our country. She wants to exalt our country in the eyes of others. She doesn't want to let the country down by any bad behaviour. A few years ago, our government published a League of Shame, and they published the names of foreign diplomats who'd been guilty of various offences in the UK. So it was a whole range of things, drink driving, breach of the peace, assault, and all sorts of other things. Of course, the foreign diplomats could not be prosecuted because they had diplomatic immunity. So lots of the embassies rushed to their defence. But it's very interesting that the embassy of one country said, you know, we're really upset that these matters have been made public. And a spokesperson said this, the commission takes a strong line with anyone who brings the name of the country into disrepute. These matters have been dealt with. Not quite sure what they meant by these matters have been dealt with. But the whole point really is that the country's reputation depended on the behaviour of its diplomats. Can you see how that links with being an ambassador for Christ? The life of the ambassador of Christ must match the words of the ambassador for Christ. Sadly, what happens sometimes is that the message gets overshadowed by the messenger. So the ambassador must speak authentically for Christ, of course they must, but they must also live authentically for Christ. I think of a girl I used to work with, always talking about Jesus, always looking for every opportunity to share her faith, always telling everyone what was going on at her church. Great, but her work was absolutely appalling. And she had that sort of way of airing her dirty laundry in public, especially the shortcomings of her husband. And she had the sort of personality, the sort of approach to people that really seemed to get on people's nerves, really wind people up. What was happening, of course, was sadly, the message was overshadowed by the messenger. Like a good ambassador, think of those things again we've mentioned. We want to be worthy representatives of Jesus. We want to exalt his reputation in the eyes of others, like a good ambassador. We don't want to let him down by bad behaviour. The messenger must not overshadow the message. Our lives must be consistent. One final thing, our vision must be for mission. The apostles, did you notice they still cherish narrow nationalistic expectations? Remember what they said to Jesus? Are you going to give Israel national independence? So narrow, so nationalistic. Did you notice how Jesus broadens their horizons? Yeah, you're going to be witnesses in Jerusalem, but then also to the ends of the earth. So you will begin in Jerusalem, the national capital, place where Jesus was condemned and crucified. You'll continue into Judea, the immediate locality. But then the message, the gospel, will radiate out from the centre, first to the despised Samaritans, to the Gentile nations, to Rome, to the ends of the earth. I don't know whether you've ever noticed, but actually that verse is like a table of contents for the book of Acts. So chapters 1 to 7 is in Jerusalem. Chapters 8 to 11 is Judea and Samaria, and the rest of the book deals with the spread of the gospel to Gentile nations, Rome, to the ends of the earth. So you've got a worldwide mission, beginning with the people closest to them and reaching to the ends of the earth. And we are called to share in that mission. And I wonder if the question that perhaps God is asking us is this, is something like this. What are you prepared to sacrifice for my mission? What are you prepared to sacrifice for my mission? I suspect that we won't reach the people of Sandbach and beyond unless we're willing to sacrifice. I suspect we won't reach them through our usual church services. We certainly won't reach them if we are inward looking. We need a heart of love. We need the power of the Spirit to equip us and empower us to fulfill our mission. So what are we prepared to sacrifice for the mission? Are we allowing the Holy Spirit to have that freedom to move in our lives and in our church life? Or do we grieve him? Do we quench him? Are we willing to sacrifice our lives and our church life, do everything we can so that others have the joy of knowing Christ? That's a mark of the power of the Holy Spirit resting on us. It's power for witnessing, isn't it? On an aside, are you familiar with bath bombs? I told you it was a bit of an aside there. Let me just describe or tell you how one bath bomb was. I always think they sound incredibly dangerous, don't they? But let me just share with you how one was described. The spiritual bath bomb is infused with cocoa butter detoxifying clay, and essential oils that focus on spiritual awakening and self-exploration. The bath bombs also have a bit of teal colour, which provides colour therapy. Teal, according to colour therapy, reflects emotional healing, self-awareness, spiritual advancement, and protection. I'd almost apologise for putting that. You wonder how people can be taken in, don't you? And then I was reminded of that little verse that talks about the God of this world blinding the minds of unbelievers. Spiritual bath bomb, power. Power from within. Holy Spirit is not like a fragrant bath bomb designed to give us a spiritual experience, a high to relax in. Actually, he's to empower us to go into battle. Day after day, month after month, year after year. At home, at work, in our neighbourhood, to the ends of the earth. It is tough out there. We can't pretend otherwise. It is hard to be a witness to Christ and his gospel. But this is where the Holy Spirit wants to display his power in us as we go out into the world, keeping on being his witnesses. So our prayer is for this morning, isn't it, that through that power of the Holy Spirit resting on us, we will have a heart for the lost. We will live lives that are consistent. We will have a vision for mission. I mean, you think that verse is absolutely ludicrous when you just stop and think about it for a moment. Absolutely ludicrous. What have you got? A little group of despised men and women. That's all you've got. Claiming the whole pagan world for Christ. What happens? They receive the Holy Spirit. They obey their master's instructions. And they go out and witness by the power of the Holy Spirit. And there's a very real sense that you and I this morning are the fruit of their sacrifice. Because they sacrificed. We have the joy of knowing Christ today. So of course we have to turn the question round, don't we? Through the power of the Spirit, what will we sacrifice that others will come to know Christ? Let's pray together. Father, thank you once again that you are a God who always keeps his promises. And we remember how hundreds of years ago you promised that you would pour out your Holy Spirit. Thank you that at Pentecost we can celebrate that you kept your promise and your Holy Spirit was poured out. But thank you too for reminding us that the power of the Spirit isn't just to give us a spiritual buzz, a spiritual experience, a spiritual high. One of the main reasons he's given is to empower us to be his witnesses. So, Father, we pray that you might give us a heart for the lost. We pray that you'll help us to live lives that are consistent, that bear witness to Christ. And we pray that you'll give us a vision for mission. And, Lord, we pray that you will challenge each one of us this morning about sacrifice. Sacrificing our lives and our church life, that others might have the joy of knowing Christ. And in his name we pray. Amen. So our final hymn really invites the Holy Spirit to come and move amongst us. It celebrates his coming and it longs for his work to continue. A God of burning, cleansing flames, send the fire.
Thank you.
And let's pray together. So may the power of your Holy Spirit transform us. May the gentleness of your Holy Spirit lead us. And may the gifts of your Holy Spirit equip us to serve and worship you, now and for always. Amen.